Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
First of May, good evening, it's 5:30. This is update for Monday, 7th of September 2020 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the island and background to the news. Sport, business, Sea-Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person tonight. One confirmed case of COVID-19 on the island and in Guernsey too, but both Airbridge partners are happy. The Glen Crutchery 2 have gone. Goodbye, the bus and cycle lanes. A better deal for gas consumers on the island, but when? And the Two Fellas Pub has become One Fella and His Wife.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
29 minutes to 6. First of all, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Dolan Mercer.
Fastamai, the Chief Minister of Guernsey, isn't concerned it's recorded a new case of COVID-19 on the same weekend as the Isle of Man. The Channel Island had it confirmed after 130 days straight without a new case, and like here, the person said to have returned from the UK and immediately went into self-isolation. Those involved in the creation of a new industrial relations forum say it could help avoid future disputes between unions and government. It's in the process of being established by a number of groups and the Policy and Reform Minister, Ray Harmer. Representatives from Unite, Prospect and NASUWT hope the forum will allow unions to influence policy at an early stage. A series of drop-in sessions for those worried about cancer symptoms began today. The Isle of Man Anti-Cancer Association's taking an ambulance to four different ShopRite car parks over 4 days to give shoppers access to advice and information. Further afield, 7 Greek islands have been added to England's quarantine list as the policies changed on travel restrictions. Previously, the rules applied to an entire country, but officials say they'll now pinpoint specific high-risk islands instead. And a 15-year-old boy suffered serious injuries after being shot while walking to school in Suffolk. A teenager has been arrested on suspicion of attempted murder following this morning's attack in Kesgrave. Those are the headlines. News in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Garamaya, thank you, Dolan. From the Ronald's Way Met Office, Irish sea weather indicates some strong winds at sea in the next 12 hours. On the island tonight, dry and cloudy with hill fog, a moderate southwest wind. The matrix signs on the mountain are showing fog, so do take care. Low temperature overnight, 15 degrees. Jemert, dry and cloudy with brief spells, bright spells and a moderate to fresh southwesterly up to 19 degrees. Dry through the night, the overnight minimum 13 degrees. And for Jacrane, dry and bright with a fresh northwest wind, top temperature 17 degrees. Sunset, 7 minutes to 8 tonight, low water 25 to 10, high water overnight 22 minutes past 3. Sunrise at 20 to 7 and low water tomorrow morning, 13 minutes to 10. By the way, the schools are back on Wednesday.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. Visit us at Snugborough to see our range of picture frame glass, mirrors and tabletop glass.
Good evening, it's 26 minutes before 6 on Manx Radio. So the island and Guernsey, the other end of our air bridge, have a COVID case apiece. But both jurisdictions are happy those cases are safely separated from the community. John Moss.
With words and phrases like inevitable and sooner or later being part of the COVID landscape for some time, Howard Quayle's weekend pronouncement wasn't exactly a surprise.
Late yesterday evening, a case of COVID-19 was confirmed in the Isle of Man. While we can no longer technically say we have no cases on the island, we have no reason at present to think we have COVID in our community.
So to pick up on that last line, yes, we the island have a coronavirus case currently in isolation after being picked up on a 7-day test. What we don't have, we believe, is the virus out there amongst us. The government's carried out its tracing tests and they seem to be working. At lunchtime, Health Minister David Ashford was preparing to speak to members of the Manx Legion Club.
I believe now that contact tracing has concluded, is the information I've had this morning, and it hasn't changed from the press conference yesterday. There is one low-risk contact that has been identified, but no high-risk contacts whatsoever. The person has obeyed the rules, they've followed the system, and again, it emphasises why those systems are in place.
Guernsey also has a single COVID case, again identified through checking, and the person is now in isolation. Guernsey's head of government, Gavin St-Pierre, says maintaining zero cases was never a prerequisite of the air bridge, and he says it appears the Manx quarantine and testing regime has worked. The border remains closed to level four here. While some complain that's strangling the Manx economy and putting mental strain on personal relationships, others think rather differently.
Why are you continuing to upset people by playing these comments, which are very selfish and not thinking about anyone else, and upsetting other people that are not saying anything, are getting on with it, keeping to the rules?
In Strand Street, has the latest COVID case here caused concern?
Doesn't worry me in the slightest.
Right, at all. So you think it's under control and that's no problem?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, we're going to have
yourself?
To yeah, same, not a problem at all.
The island's under control. That's all that matters, yeah.
And the government's doing the right thing, you think, in closing the borders, keeping them closed?
Without question, yeah.
At least they're keeping track of everybody that's coming onto the island.
As we creep towards a possible vaccine sometime in the future, the Manx government is stressing the importance of keeping the guard up and the chance of COVID returning down.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
Meantime, the Chief Minister in Guernsey isn't concerned that it's recorded a new case of COVID-19 on the same weekend as the Isle of Man. Gavin St-Pierre.
Both of us were expecting it and to some extent have probably been a bit surprised that it hasn't emerged before. I mean, interestingly, both appear to be asymptomatic tests picked up on day seven, which I would suggest means that actually probably by reason of sort of statistics, both of us have probably had asymptomatics come in, but we've not identified them because they've done their 14 days isolation and so we've never known. So I think what it tells us is that the systems are working in both places and importantly, of course, we've also got the discipline of those that have been asked to self-isolate doing so. And so there's no risk of community transmission. So I think we're both in a good place, and that's very positive. I think obviously perhaps a greater concern right now is watching cases rise all around us, and that really does tell us that the reason for these rules, the reason for these regimes, is as valid as it ever was.
Well, as you already mentioned, this was picked up on the seventh day testing process that you've had in place, and we are in fact starting today that system. So can you tell us if you think it's been successful for yourselves?
Yeah, I mean, the advice from public health teams is that this methodology will pick up 80 to 90% of those cases that pick up the virus on their journey, recognizing that actually it takes a while for that to come through. But of course, also that's a small proportion. There will be others who will have perhaps picked up the virus before they've travelled. So all the scientific evidence and advice is that this is a very effective way of mitigating risk. As ever, there is no way of completely eliminating risk, but it is an effective way of mitigating risk, and that certainly seems to have proven to be the case. We've certainly got no concerns with the Isle of Man moving to a similar system.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
22 minutes before six, both vessels, Ben McCree and Mananan, below us here at Douglas Head at the moment in harbour. The motor ship Ben McCree back in service tomorrow morning. She heads out at 8:45. Fahisham returning at 2:15. She's back after her dry dock repair in Falmouth. The Fastcraft Mananan returns to weekend Fastcraft passenger service to Liverpool.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
The cyclone bus lane on Glen Cottery Road in Douglas, which have become the focus of much confusion, anger and attention for many drivers, have gone. They've been removed this afternoon. It's one of a number of changes made by the Department of Infrastructure in preparation for the return of two-way traffic on Douglas Promenade tomorrow morning. Ewan Gordon with the details.
The road layout on Governor's Dip has returned to normal, but drivers may have noticed when coming to work today that the cycle and bus lane on Glencrutchery Road was still there. We understand that this was because there was a delay caused by the wet weather, and subsequently later this afternoon the cycle lane has been removed. A dashed line still needs to go in its place though to lay out a return to the old road markings. To confirm, the department has also stressed that by tomorrow before rush hour, Summer Hill should be reopened once again and two-way traffic on the promenade will be in place, as they've said, ahead of rush hour tomorrow. That's the latest from the Department of Infrastructure.
Manx Radio's business briefing, brought to you by KPMG.
It's understood the Chinese owner of Thomas Cook's planning to relaunch potentially soon, within days. Fosun, which bought the brand following collapse this year, is apparently planning to reinvent it as an online travel agent. Quite what consumers will make of it is unclear. Nestle's increased the share of recyclable or reusable plastics to package its products to 87%, making progress towards the 100% goal by 2025. Nestle is often cited by environmental groups as one of the top plastic polluters, so the food giant's vowed to reduce its use of new plastics by a third by 2025 and spend up to 2 billion Swiss francs, it's about just over $2 billion, to boost recyclable plastics. The Swiss-based company currently launched a refillable system for pet food in Chile, allowing deliveries to consumers without extra packaging. Although plastic waste caused by takeaway food containers and online delivery packaging has increased during the COVID pandemic as more people ordered food and groceries online. Eliminating packaging is one aspect of Nestle's strategy. Another is replacing plastic with more sustainable materials. Nestle already sells Kit Kat in paper wrappers in parts of Europe and has developed a new recyclable paper to wrap Maggi stock cubes, soon to be launched in France.
KPMG, here for your business through these unprecedented times. Contact IOM at kpmg.co.im. The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks were higher as investors monitor progress on various coronavirus vaccines. The dollar steadied after US jobs data showed jobs growth slowed further in August. Oil dropped as Saudi Arabia made the deepest monthly price cuts for supply to Asia in 5 months. Gold edged higher after weak US data raised concerns over a quick economic rebound. In corporate news, Ashtead was trading higher a day ahead of the release of its first quarter results. Polymetal gained after an initial resource estimate. On the downside, Informa was a touch weaker after Goldman Sachs downgraded its rating on the shares to neutral and cut the price target by 15%. The numbers now at the close in London. The FTSE 100 was up 2.3% at 5,937. The DAX in Frankfurt up 2% at 13,100. America's closed for Labor Day today, so the Dow steady from Friday at 28,133, the Nasdaq 11,313, and the S&P 500 at 3,426. Of course, back to normal tomorrow. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 31.6 cents and €1 11.3 cents. And in commodities, gold down 0.2% at $1,930 per ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude down 0.5% at $42.08.
The Stock Market Report was brought to you by Ramsey Crookall, the island's investment specialist. Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
There's a list of demands from a campaigner who's led a public pressure group for a better deal for gas consumers for a number of years. Barry Murphy wants any new agreement to include tracking for the UK regulator, Ofgem's price cap, a social tariff, and a proper regulator to replace the Office of Fair Trading. You can listen back to the episode of Perspective where Barry Murphy was talking with MHK's Chris Thomas and Laurie Hooper. Dolan Mercer asked Mr. Murphy what he'd like to see in a brand new deal for consumers.
10 years, not acceptable. 10-year voluntary agreement under no conditions, unacceptable.
Because lots can change in a decade.
Huge amounts. 10 years, not acceptable. And I'll speak to Laurie and Chris about that at a later time. One of our members, there's been 1,600 members. One or two of them are very influential. One of them has got this very good idea that future we should be looking at tracking the Ofgem price cap. So whatever the Ofgem price cap is in the UK, we should have a tracking mechanism to ensure that we never go above, our charges never go above that track. I've got reservations regarding the 12,000 kilowatt hours units for business customers. 12,000 units is the average for a good-sized domestic dwelling, probably a four-bedroom domestic dwelling. Business customers need to be getting involved, and they need to understand about where this new voluntary agreement, if it's agreed, where it's going to take them, because I believe it is a danger that they could be subsidising domestic customers. When I met the committee back in 2017, we had an expert on utility regulation that sat with the committee. She's going to remain nameless, but she was very influential. I believe that she made it clear at that time that we needed a proper regulator involved here, that the OFT were not up to the job. They're proven and not up to the job. So 100% behind what Chris is saying. Chris is thinking of a longer term solution. I think many in government, I'm not going to include Laurie into this because I'm not too sure, but a short term fix is not the solution. We need to be looking at bringing all utility companies, whether they be Manx Gas, the MUA, Shore Telecom, Manx Telecom and Transport into a long term regulatory framework. And the other last thing is social tariff. For the last 4 years, Manx Gas have constantly rabbited on about this social tariff that they're going to implement. They still haven't implemented it. So I would plead with Laurie to ensure that the social tariff is included within any agreement in the future.
Manx Radio Sport.
14 minutes before six. Faster May, Rhianne Evans.
Faster May. Daryl Hill has been crowned the 2020 Isle of Man snooker champion, his fifth time winning the competition. The ex-professional and former European under-21 champion defeated reigning Ireland champion John Kenish 5-3 at Douglas Snooker Bar this weekend. In last year's final, Kenish came back from 4-0 down to win 5-4, which was his fourth time holding the trophy. The year before that, Hill beat Kenish in the final, so the pair are now very familiar with the meeting at the climax of local competition. Reacting to this year's victory, former world number 75 Hill paid tribute to his opponent.
John is the dominant force at the moment on Isle of Man soil anyway. I think, obviously, I took some time out of the game and stopped playing for a while, and I've been a bit slow in getting back into the game and picking up some form when I needed it. He always is difficult to beat, John, and you know when you're going into a match with John that if you're not on your game, John is someone who can put you away and beat you quite convincingly.
Further afield, Women's Super League champions Chelsea started their title defence with a draw. Their opening game ended 1-1 at Manchester United. Arsenal made an impressive start, thrashing Reading 6-1, while Tottenham and West Ham drew 1-1. And world tennis number one Novak Djokovic says he's been left sad and empty after being disqualified from the US Open. Officials kicked him out of the tournament after the Serbian hit a ball at a line judge during his fourth round match against Pablo Carreño Busta. Djokovic's opponent says the umpires were left with no choice.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
The 4:30 from Ronald's Way to London City went 13 minutes late, back at 8 o'clock tonight. And the 10 to 5 Liverpool flight left 8 minutes late. That's back at 20 to 7 tonight. On the road, Shore Road, Victoria Road, East Quay and Station Place in Peel. Phased closures for water main replacement and sewerage infrastructure. The action this week is on Shore Road's pumping station in Peel, so do take care there. Peveril Square in Douglas got temporary narrow lanes for building works between the Sea Terminal and the Lloyds Bank building. Derby Haven Slipways closed for reconstruction at the moment. Howarden Avenue in Douglas is closed between Woodburn Road and Selburn Road. Woodburn Square one-way system has been suspended. There is fog on the mountain. Take care and drive carefully. And all the information you need for travel is at manxradio.com, powered by Millichaps of Ramsey.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by
Auto Solutions, 670-145.
Two Fellas has become One Fellow and Wife. The island's only micropub opened its doors for the first time since lockdown, having undergone a complete overhaul, including a change of name, a change of ownership and a new feel. Formerly known as the Two Fellas Micropub, the business in Michael Street in Peel now goes by the name The Miller's Tale. After its launch on Saturday, Dolan Mercer caught up with the landlord and owner of the pub, Charles Miller.
The business closed in March during lockdown, and we didn't reopen it as the Two Fellas Micropub. As a lot of people in the industry know, beer supplies are difficult to get hold of.
Yeah.
The situation is easing now. But during that time, we were looking at opening the end of July, early August. But during that time, my business partner and I decided to part companies. We wanted to do different things and go our own way. So we've done that. So I've taken my wife on board. So I'm now one fella and wife, rather than two fellas. But we've taken the opportunity to rebrand the place and rename it. We've got our own license now, but we've also taken the opportunity to refresh it, refurbish it, change the colour schemes. There's new lighting, there's a fireplace inside, everything's had a liquor paint and varnish, and we ain't finished yet. The idea really is to make the place more female friendly. We're a small bar, we're probably the smallest bar on the island, I would think. Our capacity is only 40 at absolute maximum. So
the aim is to have quite a welcoming atmosphere.
Absolutely, yeah. Come in for a quiet drink, there are no distractions, there's no TV, there's no pool tables, no jukebox or anything like that. It's just good drink and good conversation.
What's the unique selling point, do you think, here? Why do people come here and not elsewhere?
Micropub generally specialises in quality real ales, beers you've never heard of and brewers you've never heard of, quality wines. We buy all ours from the wine cellar locally in Douglas, and we also import through Bottle Monkey in Douglas our keg products and our bottles and cans. You don't see any mainstream products here. Everything that you see here, for most of it, is from small producers, apart from the keg products, which are coming in from continental Europe, and it could be a German lager or a Dutch lager or whatever I got that week. I think our unique selling point is you'll come in here and you will rarely, if ever, see the same beer twice. We don't keep, for sake of argument, Guinness or Carling or anything. When the keg's empty, it's gone. Put something else.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Unions on the Isle of Man have outlined their hopes for a new body aimed at improving relationship with government. They want to organise an industrial relations forum with the Policy and Reform Minister Ray Harmer. Geraldine O'Neill from the Teaching Union, NASUWT, and Debbie Halsall from Unite.
There was an industrial relations forum before, which basically became a talk shop. It did nothing. And there was obviously a bit of an apprehension of coming back into something that was not going to bring anything to fruition. So I think we've went out and stated we weren't prepared to sit in an industrial relation forum unless there was strategy and there was key roles and partnership working moving forward. And as I've reiterated time and time again, I'm not willing to sit in a talk shop or a tick box exercise to say we're engaging with unions, and basically they're not.
Well, how do you make sure it's meaningful?
Well, I think if there's been issues raised, and obviously it's a multifaceted trade union position, and we're all sitting there and we all want to work in a partnership. We don't want to be brought in on the latter end of a policy being made and said, can you look at that? And then we have to go through a policy. It's about partnership working, good industrial relations and working together instead of being in a position where one side is seen as agitating or that they're doing whatever they feel they have the right to do without talking in meaningful discussions with unions.
If there are differences, if there are issues that come up in certain departments, we would hope to see that the Industrial Relations Forum would act, for example, like an honest broker there, would look at what has happened, look at best practice and look at issues that we need to resolve. But we need to look at the Isle of Man government workforce. If you think about it, it's the largest employer on the Isle of Man. So really we can have an enormous impact for good, and moving forward that's really going to be important in the COVID crisis and issues going forward. So rather than finding out about things after they've happened, if we're working together in the beginning, you know, we can prevent that type of adversarial conflict between the unions and government.
6 minutes to six on update. The owner of a butcher's in Paul Rose hopes the island's first apprentice butcher since 2013 will spark a revival of what he's calling a dying trade. Manx local butchers opened in the former Paul Rose post office in June and has hired 17-year-old Robert Fair to learn the profession from master butcher Dylan Williamson. Here's Robert and the business owner Craig Carroll.
It's different to other apprenticeships. I mean, I'd done one quite a while ago and it's very different. I enjoy what I do. He lets me crack on with the work and I'm happy with that.
And it's just a career you can see yourself really going into.
I can see myself, well, in 20 years' time, hopefully having my own place. That's what we all envision ourselves now. Hoping one day I can run a shop, hopefully.
How important was it for you to have this training element as well and actually be developing as well?
Robert is actually the first new apprentice on the island from 2013, as far as I'm aware, through the Department of Enterprise. And the apprenticeship schemes that are offered aren't actually given as many benefits as they used to do, which is, it was quite unfortunate. There hasn't been much of a call for apprentice butchers on the island, as it's pretty much a dying trade, as you can see. But we're hoping with Manx Local Butchers we can be the start of a resurgence in the butchery trade. And Robert here, being the first new apprentice, since he's come in the door, he's put his head down, worked really hard. His family's been in the butchery game for a long time, so he's doing absolutely fantastic. Getting trained off the best butcher in the island as well, and Dylan here. So he's doing the best. Try to sell a product, aren't we? So it's the best, yeah.
That's about it for updates. Just a quick word, by the way, a collection of 10 stamps celebrating the work of Manx resident Mitch Murray, CBE, will be released later this month, by the way. The Alabama Post Office has put together a set to honour the songwriter, producer and singer who's lived on the Isle of Man since 1978. Mitch Murray's 60-year career seen him work with his work showcased by people like Jerry and the Pacemakers, Georgie Fame and Tony Christie. The stamps are available to pre-order at iompost.com/Mitch Murray. WINT